Well, good morning. Again, welcome to Higher Hope Church. I'm excited to be kind of finishing off this series of greater, God increasing our capacities. And this week, as I was preparing for this message, I got the text from a friend of mine that that I've been texting people, I guess, for the last 6 weeks or so. I got this text that said, "Hey, what are you doing tomorrow morning?" And this was Friday night, and I'm thinking, Saturday morning, sleeping in, that's my plan. And I said, "Why? What's going on?" And he said, "Well, we need to move our stuff out of our apartment and put it into storage." And I was like, "Oh, great." Maybe you don't know, we've been doing that for the last 6 weeks as a family. We were moving in here and just trying to figure out where to put these things and calling people and going, "Hey, I can't lift this thing. Can you come help?" So my friend, he encouraged me. He's like, "Hey, listen, we only have seven dressers and a few beds. It's really not that heavy of stuff." And, and I'm thinking, does he have a piano? He's a musician, so I thought he's probably got a piano. He does not have a piano. That was great news. But he was so kind that he actually sent me pictures. And he's like, here's some pictures of my stuff. And so I was like, okay, it doesn't look too heavy. And so I was very wise for once, and I called a friend. And I said, "Hey, what are you doing tomorrow morning? Can you come help?" And so the two of us went over to our friend's house, and we get there. And he had told us, that he had seven dressers and all that. And so, we start walking through the house, and we're like, okay, this isn't so bad. So we went up, and we started bringing these dressers downstairs into their front entryway. And he had also told us that he's bringing this trailer. "Oh, don't worry, there's this trailer, because they're moving us to this storage place." And I had just driven my little hatchback. I have this little Kia that can't fit a dresser in it for nothing. Barely fits four people. And so I was like, "Awesome, you got this trailer coming. This will be a piece of cake." Well, then down the road, we just get a couple of things out there, and we could see down the road, he's like, "Oh, here comes the trailer." And this trailer coming down the road was smaller than this platform. And I went, "Oh, no, we're in trouble. Only one dresser, it's going to take seven trips, this is going to be wonderful." So we continue to bring stuff down, they back that trailer into place, and we load it full of a couple of smaller things. And they're like, "Oh, no, there's a bigger trailer coming." And thankfully, the real trailer showed up. And it was this big, 12x6 thing. And we fit all the trailers in there. And we worked really hard. I'm pretty sore today. But we got it all done in 2.5 hours. It was fantastic. And as we finish up this series, I want to just kind of talk to you a little bit about faith. See, God wants to increase our faith so that we get to see his power working in and through our lives. And with my friend, he said, "Hey, I only have seven dressers." And I've known this guy for 10 or 12 years. So when he said that, I believed him. It was nice he sent pictures, to be honest. But I believed him. And so, we showed up, and guess what? How many dressers he had? Seven. Yeah. He actually had seven dressers and no piano. Yes. He had something hidden in the basement, but we never went down there to see what that was, thankfully. But see, faith is how God wants to interact with us, wants us interacting with him. And faith has to do with trusting and believing. And I believe, my friend, that he was telling me the truth about how many dressers there were. And so I went. I put action to it. Well, when we think about faith, when you think about what it is and what it's not, what it is, faith is a trust thing. Faith is not just this fuzzy feeling that you develop from sitting in church services or you just, I got to manufacture this faith. Faith is also not something where God says, I said this, believe it to be true, let it go. Leave your brain at the door. That's not how God operates. That's not what faith is. Instead, faith is based in a person. See, trust in a person develops in us trust in their word. Just like my friend, he said, hey, we had this relationship. He says, hey, I have 7 dressers. And those 7 dressers were actually all he had. It developed more faith. It brought us closer. I got to see his character. I got to see his trustworthiness. He wasn't lying to me just to get me there to help. He was telling me the truth. And so this is what God wants to do with us. God is asking us to walk by faith in every area of our life, but it's not something we have to manufacture. This is a really cool thing about our God. See, God has made us promises throughout his word. He's promised us many things. Salvation in Christ, forgiveness of sins, eternity with him. And he's made these promises, and man, we can just be so excited about these promises. But what gives us power to by faith believe these promises, to trust God, is not the promise, but it's the promiser, the one who gave the promise. So today we're gonna take a look into Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 to 19. So if you have your phone or you have a paper Bible or whatever you look up scripture, it'll be up here on the screen too. We're gonna talk about this guy named Abraham and how God continued to increase his faith, give him greater faith, so that the power of God could be seen in his life for the people around him. And for us even today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 says this: it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his own son Isaac. That just freaks me out a little bit. Think about what God is asking him to do to his own son. Come here, son. I'm going to lay you down on an altar, and I'm going to kill you. Because that's what God wants. How is it that Abraham got to this place? Well, there's an interesting thing in here where it says, Abraham, who received God's promises. So we have to back up for a minute. How did he get to the point where he was willing to sacrifice his only son on some stones? We'll back up a little bit. Abraham was a man. God called him out of Babylon and said, you know what? I promise I'm gonna give you this land. And I want you to follow me and come with me to that land. And so Abraham does. And the Bible says that Abraham left some of his family. He left where he knew. He left his home, and he started on this journey across the desert. To a place that God promised, that he had never seen before, had no idea what it was going to be like, but he did it. And then when he got there, God takes him up onto the top of a mountain and says, okay, look, spin around, 360, look everywhere that you can see. That is what I am giving you as your land. This will be your land. And you can imagine Abraham in his old age, around 90 years old, not having any kids yet, is like, well, how is, you know, who's going to fill this land? Who's going to live here? And then God gives him another promise, and he promises him a son who he'll eventually name Isaac. At 90 years old, he has no kids, but he has property. Nobody to fill it. But God promises that he'll have a son. And that he'll have descendants that are more multiple than the stars. If you can count the grains of sand on the seashore, that's how many kids Abraham is going to have, how many descendants he's going to have. And so here Abraham is, around 100 years old, and he has a son. And he has this little baby, and he can look at God and say, God, you brought us into this land, and you promised the land. Which again is why it's called the Promised Land. You promised a land, and then you promised me a son, and here he is. God, you keep your word. You're true to your promises. And as the son grows up, God says this, take your only son Isaac, the one whom I gave you and sacrifice him on a stone tablet. Take him down, tie him up. His 15-year-old son lays him on an altar. And he goes to take the knife and kill him. Verse 18, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. God says, take the son, lay him on the altar. And Abraham's got to be wrestling. But God, this is my only son. You said I was going to have many descendants. If he dies, how will that happen? But Abraham takes him up there, takes him onto the mountain, lays him on the stones. And as he's about to kill him, God steps in. Verse 19. As Abraham is up on that mountain, he's lifting his knife up to shove it through his son, as God had asked him to do. Abraham in his mind was reasoning, verse 19, Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. See, Abraham is sitting there with his son all tied up, knife in his hand, ready to sacrifice his son. Guys, you know, he got there because he believed the promises of God. He believed that God would give him a land, and God did. He believed that God would give him a son, and God did. He believed that God would give him descendants through that son. And so at this point, he's standing there with a knife ready to plunge it into his son, and yet he believes that somehow, because God is a God who keeps his promises, that somehow God will raise him from the dead. And just as he's about to shove this knife down, God says, stop. I see your faith. You trust me. And Abraham is commended for his faith in God. And then in that, we see this ram. God provides this ram. It's stuck in the bushes by its horns. And he unties his son, and they go, and they grab it, and they sacrifice that ram. Seeing God provide. Seeing God's power at work in their lives. See, faith is based in the promiser, not just the promise. What's important is who made the promise. See, my friend told me that we only had 7 dressers to move, and it was true. Yes. God said that through your son Isaac, there'll be many descendants, you can't even number them. God kept Isaac alive by his power. God, seeing Abraham's faith in God's promises, steps into that situation, shows and demonstrates his power by providing this ram. They kill the ram and they praise God. Let me ask you. We've seen Abraham go into a new land. He's been promised a son. He receives a son, and then he's told to sacrifice his son. And God had made this promise that he'd have many descendants through this son. God then provides a ram as Abraham is walking by faith in what God has promised him. What did that do to their faith? What did that do to Abraham and Isaac's faith in God? It increased it. They got to see God once again being who he is, the promise giver. God keeps his promises. And through Isaac, Abraham will have many descendants. You know that that's where the Jewish people come from. from Isaac, the nation of Israel. So God keeps his promises. Abraham, he knew God. He had spent time with God. He reasoned that God could bring him back to life. Think about that for a second. Abraham spent time with God reasoning. This is who our God is. This is who God is. He's the life giver. I can offer my son to him because he keeps his promises. And you know what? God could actually bring him back to life. That's who God is. And so he was willing to do it. And the power of God showed up in his life. Guys, the results of walking by faith. Abraham and his son, now they get to sacrifice this animal. They get to experience the power of God in their life. And they get joy. And they get to understand the lover of their souls. Faith is not a fuzzy thing. Faith is based in the promiser. What has he promised? Somebody has once said that faith is like the clutch in a car, in a sports car. Imagine for a minute that there's this guy, this young guy, and he's got a sports car, and he's invited his friend to come sit in a sports car and go for a ride. It happens to be a convertible, so they drop the top down, and they start out onto the highway, and they get going. 50, and he's shifting. 60, and he's going faster and faster. He's hitting 80. There's no cops around. He's hitting 80. There are state troopers, so be careful. So he's flying down this road, 80, 90, hits 100. Whoa, his hair's just flying back in the wind. He's like, yeah. And he looks over to his friend and he says, man, what a clutch. Is that what he would say? No, that's not what he'd say. Man, what an engine. This car is incredible. The engine has so much power. And see, faith is like a clutch. The power is always there in the car. You just have to release the clutch, shift through the gears, and let it fly. And we can watch in Abraham's life, he was shifted through the gears. Take up all your family and move to land I don't know. Okay, God, I'm going to do it. You're going to have a son. All right, God, another gear. And then sacrifice your only son. Okay, God. And what results? The power of God. In his life, in the life of his son. Can you imagine Isaac just for a second, like years later, Hey, Dad, remember that time you took me up on that mountain over there? Whew. It's a good thing God's powerful. See, faith applied to our life, faith in the promiser helps us, gets us, allows us to experience our God. You know, if you have a car and it's got all its oil and gas and whatever else you put in a car, and it's got all this power, but you never engage the gearing, you never let the clutch out, it sits there full of power but does nothing. And yet we can see that God wants to do so much through us. He wants us to experience his power. Faith is like a clutch. It releases God's power, God's authority, God's promises into our lives. And Hebrews 11, verse 1 says this. Faith is confidence. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. Every one of those experiences for Abraham were something he could not see. He didn't know how God was going to do any of it, but he knew that God was the promiser, the one powerful enough to keep his promises always. God always keeps his promises. He never lets us down. He never goes back on his word. So faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. This is releasing that clutch. God wants us to let go. Let that clutch go. Let the power of God work in our lives. So let me ask you. Maybe you're sitting here today, and as you're thinking about your life, you've been thinking about the last week, the last month, you're thinking, man, God, I know there's this one thing you want me to do. You want me to make this relationship right. God, you want me to understand more of who you are. You want me to get into your word. Whatever it is, God is asking you not to do it on your own power. You don't have it. You're just sitting in the seat waiting to feel the, when this car takes off. Instead, God is just asking you to release the clutch. Let his power work through you. Take that step of faith, whatever he might be speaking to you about. Maybe it's moving, and maybe it's moving into a ministry. Maybe it's taking another step into reaching your neighbors. Whatever it is, God is asking you to let his power go. And he's asking me the same thing. Our faith in him releases that power. And we will grow in our faith. And people will actually see our God at work here now on this planet. Because he is. Do you want to see God at work in your life? Do you want to see God's power transforming who you are into who he wants you to be? I do, desperately. God wants us to step out in faith, to release that clutch, let his power go. The promiser is the one we need to be looking at. He keeps his words at all times. We can trust his promises because who he is. And that is faith. Believe in the promiser. Release the clutch of faith and see his power work in your life. Let's just take a moment, just right where you are, and talk to our promiser. What promises of God do you know? What promises of God is he asking you to hold on to? Guys, we're not trying to manufacture a feeling. The promises are given by the promiser. Does God fail? No. Never. Does God lie? Never. God keeps his promises at all times. So just right now, just for a couple of moments, just bow your heads, close your eyes, and talk to the promiser. Talk to him about the area of life that maybe he's talking to you about. What's the next step? What is it that God wants you, and you know he wants you to do it? And it's not about you doing, it's about him. Trusting the promise, the promiser. Father, you are such an amazing God. God, we look at your promises and sometimes we put that human spin on it, like, no way. But you are God. You created everything out of nothing. You can do anything. You always keep your promises, God. We can see that in the life of Abraham. We can see that if we'll look, we can see that in our lives. God, may we trust you and turn to you in every area of our life, especially the one you're touching on today, this week. God, we believe that you keep your promises and that your power is always there. God, may we see your power this week. In Jesus' name, amen.